My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Welcome into the Insiders. I am James Hamm. Joining me today, we got Kyle Madsen. I don't know if Kyle can hear.
Oh, we're just going to do it like that. Okay, cool.
I didn't know if you could hear the intro music. I'm guessing you could not.
No, I thought I was going to get it. That's fine. We're working through it. That's how this goes when you're trying to do something you've literally never done before. We're fixing the hiccups on the fly, and that's fine.
That's right.
Thank you, James.
Kyle, take over. It's all you.
Yeah, no. Hello, everybody. Welcome in. As James said, this is the Insiders. We're hanging out with you until noon. I've been out the last couple of days with the plague, but now I'm back. I've got a home studio set up, so that's what we're doing. And good day for it, because it felt like that Kings game last night was the first time maybe all year that I've watched the Kings lose a game and been like, well, that wasn't a disaster. Like, that was just, sometimes you're going to lose, and sometimes teams with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker are just going to kind of beat you. And it felt like that's what happened last night.
Yeah.
This is not a 4-alarm fire kind of loss for me.
Yeah. In all honesty, I felt the same exact way. Like, I think you and I, we text during games. And I just felt like, okay, like, look, this is a standard NBA loss against a team that's right around you in the standings. You hope that you get wins like this, but at the same time, this feels like a normal NBA loss where, like, 90% of the other NBA, the other losses this season did not feel like normal NBA losses for the Sacramento Kings. And so I'm with you, Kyle, 100%. Sometimes a team hits shots and you don't get the ball to drop when you need it to in the end, and you lose a game. And for me, a lot of good things happened in this game. It wasn't all bad. And that's where so many losses this season have been all bad, or so little to take away from it that you just have to move on, you know, like just rinse and repeat. Just like, okay, here we go. We got to figure out something else.
Yeah. So there are a couple things with that. One, Kevin Durant is impossible. He just hit a couple of shots last night where he just drifted into the mid-range and he pulls up. He gets to that spot just to the right of the right elbow. And it's just a bucket every time, and there's nothing you can do about it. But the other thing is, that's why you don't lose to the Hornets.
Yes.
That's why you don't lose to Portland and to Detroit. Because you're going to have hiccups like that against the Suns. You weren't going to go undefeated against Phoenix this year. And you smoked a late lead against them last time you played down there. And this one, like we said, you just kind of lost it. But the reason it becomes damaging and kind of the two headspaces you have to exist in the short term, in the small picture of last night, it's like, yeah, you know what? That looked like the Kings. Like, that looked like Kings basketball.
Mm-hmm.
The other team just hit some shots. The Kings didn't. The Kings made a couple of mistakes. And the Suns took advantage, and they walk out of there with the W. But the big picture is the Kings are now the 8th seed. They are now outside of the playoffs. They are the road team in the first play-in if the season ends today. And that big picture, not particularly where you want to be. And it's not because they lost last night, but it's because of all the other bad we've come in here and talked about throughout the year. And that's why I have a tough time being like, yeah, hey, everything's fine. That was an okay loss, because really they've decreased the error to the point that you can't lose that one. You can't cough up too many more of these games.
Yeah, that's the problem, Kyle, is that you have eliminated your margin for error. There is no buffer for this team, and that's what they're going to have to live with the rest of the season. You're in a, mm-hmm. what is it, a 29-game sprint to the finish line now. You got a back-to-back mm-hmm. against Denver, which is one of the ugliest back-to-backs that you can possibly have, where you're going in Phoenix one night and then Denver the next. And, you know, you got to play at elevation. Maybe Denver will have a couple of players out. We'll get to that later. But at the same time, like, I think the Kings have to find ways to not only take care of the bad teams, but then be more competitive in these games. You can't just say, okay, well, this is, you know, a two-game losing streak because it's two good teams. No, you got to go in there. You're 2-0 against Denver on the season. You need to go in there and you need to figure it out and find some way to win this game, because that's where you are. You're in desperation mode. You're not a playoff team. You're barely a play-in team at this point. You got to figure it out.
Yeah, you can't. They've lost so many games that they should have won, that now you're in a spot where, yeah, typically even when the schedule comes out, okay, when's the schedule come out in the NBA?
September, early September, usually.
September-ish?
Yeah, late August.
So schedule comes out in the NBA, and you're cruising down and you're just kind of looking at, you know, where are the back-to-backs, where are the tough road trips, this and that. And you see Phoenix, Denver, back-to-back nights, you're going, okay, that's a scheduled loss against Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's when you're probably just going to lose. Well, now you can't. Like, now that you don't just get to go, you punt that Denver game, it's whatever. Now it's like, man, you got to go win a game that you probably shouldn't. You got to make up for some of those bad losses from earlier this year, and that puts more urgency on this game than you might typically see. If the Kings were 15 games over right now, which they very well could be if they had handled business against the Hornets and the Blazers and the Pistons and teams like that, you'd be in a better spot to go, if they lose this game, it's not a huge deal. They're still, you know, a top three seed or whatever.
Yeah, I'm with you. This is one of those times where, like, I don't think the Kings might be one of the teams that need a break as much or more than anyone, right? The All-Star break is coming at a right time, but I don't think it's like physically they need a break. They need a mental break to reset, recalibrate, and come back out. And I was talking to Jesse before we came on the show, and like some of the good things that happened in this game. Number one, De'Aaron Fox comes alive, right? And for me, when you're looking at what Fox did in this game, like there were a couple of times where I'm like, okay, like come on, stop shooting, like that's enough. Like I've kind of seen enough. But at the same time, in the back of my head, I'm thinking, no, get right. I don't care what it takes, whether you got to lose a game to do it. The only way the Kings rebound in the second half of the season is if De'Aaron Fox finds himself right now. Find yourself, go ahead, go for 40, go for 50, whatever you think it is that you need to put yourself out there to show up on TNT and have a big night and get your confidence back and get everything going the right way. What you can't do is have De'Aaron Fox averaging 22 points a game for the last 6 weeks. That's just not, that's not Kings basketball. It's not the way this team is going to win. It's not the way that they're going to move forward. And if that's who he's going to be the second half of the season, then people should start getting ready to watch the Lakers and the Warriors pass you in the standings and maybe not even make the playoffs. And so that's where I'm at. Like, if this is what it takes, a loss in Phoenix on a Tuesday night in February to get De'Aaron Fox right, that might be the biggest thing to come out of this game. It's that there's a glimmer of hope that De'Aaron Fox doesn't need to find himself during the All-Star break, that he can find himself going into the All-Star break and build that confidence coming out of it.
Yeah, they can win any playoff series they're in if De'Aaron Fox is playing like he did last night.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't have a problem with the 31 shots. That's why I don't have a problem with the 12 threes. If you're going to shoot 12 threes and make five of them every time, then shoot 12 threes every single game. The offense wasn't the problem last night for me. De'Aaron Fox's performance, Domantas Sabonis' performance, Malik Monk. If you have a 35-point triple-double from Domantas Sabonis.
35, 18, and 12.
35, 18, and 12 with three blocks, mind you.
Yeah.
If you get that kind of game from him and you get 49 and 6 with three steals from De'Aaron Fox, and then off the bench, you've got Malik Monk, 22 points, four boards, six assists. Like, that should be a W.
Mm-hmm.
They did enough offensively. I have no qualms with whatever the Kings did offensively last night. Would you like more from Keegan Murray? Sure. Would you like more from Harrison Barnes? Like, absolutely. But I don't think that you get more from those guys by sacrificing whatever it is De'Aaron Fox needs to do to be De'Aaron Fox. Like, he is the alpha and the omega on this team for me. If he wants to put up 30 shots and he's going to score 40 doing so, go for it. I had no issues with how he handled last night, and he looked great, I thought.
Yeah, I thought he did too. You know, the steals are back. You know, he had 16 consecutive games with a steal, and that streak was snapped last game. But he came out in this game, and he was active defensively. He had three steals. I thought he was a pest. I thought he probably didn't even get credited for a couple of steals that he should have. You know, there's a play where he flew in and tapped the ball out of somebody's hands, and it hit, like, Keegan in the chest, and then they had a fast break.
Yeah.
You know, they dominated the fast break numbers, which was crazy. Like, they were like all of the numbers for this game tells you that the Kings should have won. They just didn't. And we can point to, you know, I know Mike Brown wanted to point to free throw, you know, the free throw disparity where 36 to 24 free throw attempts, and how even the one late call on Keegan Murray before the ball was inbounds. That was one of the toughest calls. Like, I don't know how you call that in that situation and basically go from a 3-point lead to a 4-point lead. That would, to me, was just like pretty egregious by the officiating, especially if you look at the way the whole entire game had gone. But look, if you're going to have those moments, and the Kings have too many of those moments, and that's why they lose some of these games.
Yeah, to me, it all comes down to what they did defensively. And honestly, I liked the idea of whenever the Suns would go pick and roll, they'd show on it and they'd get the ball out of Kevin Durant or Devin Booker's hands, and they'd make Josh Okogie or whoever a playmaker. And the Kings, unfortunately, I just don't think have the horses defensively. Like, that's what everything comes down to for me.
Yeah,
they just can't get stops, man. Like, that's the biggest issue, I think.
No, I totally agree with you. I do think that what happened in this game very, very clearly, and even the broadcast, because, you know, again, it's a TNT game. And a lot of times what we see from a TNT game is that they're talking about other things, not the Sacramento Kings. I think the hyper focus on the fact that Domantas Sabonis, there we go. The Domantas Sabonis didn't make the All-Star team. It was, to me, it's one of the biggest blights on the league I've ever seen. You're watching a guy destroy a Phoenix Suns team. Again, 35, 18, and 12. And it's his third straight triple-double, his fifth triple-double in six games, his 10th triple-double in 15 games. And he's not an All-Star? And I think that's one of the big things that stood out to me, too, in this game. It's just the way that you kind of had to show, like, the inequalities in the NBA where this guy's not representing us. How is that even possible that he's not representing us? So I think that was a good moment for the Kings as well.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's honestly kind of what I think we expected to see from both Domas and De'Aaron, like, immediately after they weren't announced as All-Stars. And we've seen it from Domas. We haven't from De'Aaron as much, and we saw it last night. So I think you're right. Domas should have been an All-Star. That's still the case. And I think you saw De'Aaron kind of stake his claim to that as well on national TV. against a really good team. So you love to see it. All right. Let's get James' six quick thoughts on what happened last night. That's coming up next. We'll dive into some of the minutia of last night's game. What went right? What went wrong for the Kings? Six quick thoughts coming up next on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Timmy, everybody. Great job. Next up, we have Samantha.
10 times better performance can make a big difference. Castrol Edge Motor Oil gives your engine 10 times better high temperature performance. Castrol Edge, better oil for maximum performance. Now through March 4th, get 5 quarts of Castrol Edge or Edge High Mileage Full Synthetic and an oil filter for $36.99, only at AutoZone.
Claim based on Sequence 3 H-Test versus API SP test limits.
For most of the people that walk in our store, it's been an ongoing, nonstop issue. They're searching, they're grasping at straws because they've been trying other products and they've bought something that they thought was going to help solve their problem, and it didn't.
You're listening to Beth, an art support specialist at the Goodfeet store.
A client came into my store last year that has had plantar fasciitis for 30 years. He literally walked in with a handful of products and said, "This is what I've been wearing." I looked at him, I said, "Are you kidding me? I've been here for 14. Where have you been?"
For over 20 years, we've been helping people live the life they love without letting their feet get in the way.
I'm just sad that he spent so many years with so much discomfort. I helped relieve a problem that's plagued him for 30 years. I mean, how do you not go home and talk about that?
See what we can do for you with a free personalized arch support fitting at the Goodfeet store.
Come to the Goodfeet store in Sacramento, Roseville, Stockton, Modesto, and Vacaville.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, we're back in here. That's James. I'm Kyle. I am not in the studio. I'm doing this show from home, staying isolated. I'm doing my part to make sure that I am not spreading the plague. So, James, appreciate you for letting me hang out. Jesse, appreciate you for filling in for me over the last couple of days and for running the board and keeping things going smoothly while I have been out. It means the world to me. So thank you, guys. We've talked a lot about the Kings lost last night to the Suns and kind of the big picture, good to come from it, the bad to come from it. Let's dive into some of the minutia, though, with James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go? Kings insider James Hamm has six notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
All right, let's dive into these six quick thoughts. Number one, more fantastic Mr. Fox, please. De'Aaron Fox is on. He's one of the most dynamic players in the league. 40 points, rebounds, six assists. He had 10 rebounds at one point, and they took a rebound away, so his double-double went away. Finishes with three steals. He looked extra motivated. 31 shot attempts I'm not in love with, Kyle, but still, this was De'Aaron Fox, classic De'Aaron Fox, what the Kings needed from him last night.
Yeah, man, that's the if you're going to have a superstar on your team, that's what you want from him. Do you want 31 shots every night? No. But on a night last night where he's going bucket for bucket with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, and Domas is contributing the way he did offensively, I don't mind that from De'Aaron Fox at all. And frankly, come playoff time or play in time, given where the team currently is, I think that's what they're going to need on some nights to get some W's.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you need him to find himself, and that's the key to this loss was De'Aaron Fox finding himself. Let's get to number two.
It was real quick.
Yep.
I will say that's you talked about De'Aaron finding himself. That was the first time I really felt De'Aaron Fox on the court in months. It was a stark reminder of just how dominant he can be when he's getting downhill, when he's hitting threes. He's impossible to guard, and you saw it last night. Sorry,
yeah.
Number two.
Yeah, and I do feel like staying on that subject, I do feel like that there are times where we've seen him be effective defensively, but as the offensive weapon that we become accustomed to, it's gone away. And he needed a game like this. He's had a game like this like every five or six games. He needs to start stringing them together again. Okay, number two. The Suns went small the last time these two teams played to neutralize Domantas Sabonis. I thought Sabonis just completely impacted the game and said, I don't care if you go small. You go small, I'm going to destroy you. 35 points, 18 rebounds, 12 assists, three blocks, his third consecutive triple-double. He's just been a monster. And again, if you were going to look at who lost this game, it certainly wasn't Domantas Sabonis.
It was so damn refreshing. See, Domantas Sabonis assert his will offensively. I've been asking for that all year. In a spot like that where a team goes small, go be bigger than them and score the basketball every time you get it. When they would bring it down, go watch the end of that game. He would set a high screen, and then it wasn't like asking for the ball so he could hand it off to Kevin Huerter or whatever. It was set the high screen, and then he got his ass down under the basket, and he was either trying to get a rebound or he was getting the ball and he was scoring. It's like, yes, thank you. That's what the Kings need from him in every close game from here until the end of time. I loved it.
Yeah.
It was great.
I totally agree. I just thought, like, again, you needed a moment like this for him, especially after what happened last time. Like, the 22-point fourth quarter blowout, them losing a 22-point lead against the Suns last time, a lot of it you could just point directly to Sabonis not adjusting to them going small and Kevin Durant playing center. You forced them to put Nurkic back in the game, which is not what they wanted to do. They thought, oh, look, we're going to start the fourth quarter and do what we did last time. And they started to punch the Kings, but sure enough, the Kings came back around. Okay, let's get to quick thought number three. Sixth man of the year, Malik Monk, on a national scale, just showed the NBA that he is a sixth man of the year. Again, I thought he was so incredible. He had 22 points, six assists. He had a bunch of rebounds as well. He also had a block, which is the wildest thing. That's his 34th block on the season, and he leads the Sacramento Kings in blocks. That's crazy, Kyle.
That's really nuts.
Your backup shooting guard is leading the league, leading your team in blocks.
Yeah, he's running his sixth man of the year trophy now. He's been so freaking good. And the Kings are really, really hard to beat when he's as good as he was last night. The 0 for 5 from 3 isn't great, but you're going to expect him to knock those down more often than not. I'm I thought Malik was really, really good last night, and kind of exactly what they needed. They didn't get a W, but offensively, 22-6 from your sixth man. Like, yeah, you'll take that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like people in the chat, Chatty House, want to point out that Fox had 6 turnovers and Monk had 5 turnovers. Like, look, this is a 130 to 125 game, and mistakes are going to happen in a game like that, and especially when you're trying to keep up with a team that has offensive firepower everywhere. Like, I'm not going to sit here and just roast guys for it. There was not a 9 turnover game or a 10 turnover game. Like, a 6 turnover game when you shoot 31 shots, that's kind of within the norm. Like, again, you play 40 minutes, it's possible you're going to turn the ball over 6 times.
Yeah, and when you play at a pace of 103, and there's a lot of possessions, there's going to be some turnovers. I will live with that if it means obviously you would like to see them cut those down, but you can live with that in a one game sample if it means that you're getting that kind of production from them.
Yeah.
Now the next step is getting that production without giving the ball away.
Yeah, and I would point out too, the team had 13 turnovers total and 27 assists. Like, that's not a bad number. Okay, let's get to point number 4. Kevin Huerter came in looking for a shot and then he didn't. He started 4-for-4 from the field for 10 points. He finished 4-for-6, 2-for-3 from long range, 3 rebounds and a steal. Got into it with Mike Brown for a missed defensive assignment. Kind of a weird game for Kevin Huerter, but I think that's a trend we're going to continue here for the next 3 quick thoughts.
Yeah, man. Weird year for Kevin Huerter. They need him, but also I don't know that they need him for their offense to function at its highest level. At least that's kind of what we've seen. But also when Fox and Sabonis and Monk are going like they did last night, he needs to be able to affect the game in other ways, defensively, grabbing rebounds, moving the ball. And he's just not an impactful night for him at all.
Yeah, I thought so too. He's a -8 overall, which isn't horrible, but, you know, still you needed more from him. And that brings us to number 5 in the 6 quick thoughts. Keegan Murray and Harrison Barnes were non-existent for much of the game. Fox, Sabonis, and Monk were partially to blame for this, taking a ton of shots. But you can't have your 2 starting forwards combine for... I got 15 points on 7 of 17 shooting. They each had 5 rebounds. No assists, though, for Barnes. 1 assist for Keegan Murray. That's just Keegan Murray took 2 3-point attempts. That doesn't make any sense.
Too
so
good for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, way too good of a shooter for that.
Yeah, you got to figure it out. Like, both of them are way too good of a shooter to go 1 of 6 from 3. And I don't even worry about the 1. I worry about the 6. Like, if that was 2 for 12, okay, then we're talking about, hey, you should have hit more. But that's where you need to be. You need to be at the 12 mark for these guys to be successful.
Yeah, and it's a little bit tough because I think when you have Fox and Sabonis and Monk, who are the clear-cut top 3 offensive options rolling like they were, it's probably tough for Keegan Murray, who's not an assertive type of loud guy anyway, to step in and be like, hey, give me the shot.
Yeah, totally. They need to be more boisterous and more vocal. Let's get to our last of the six quick thoughts. Somebody else has to step up. Trey Lyles and Sasha Vezenkov are out. Vezenkov is out for a long time. Trey Lyles had a cold or something. But the tandem of Davion Mitchell, Keon Ellis, Kessler Edwards, Alex Len scored a combined 3 points. And I know that you've got Monk, but somebody has to do something. And that's something, you know, defensively, I thought they were fine. But, Alex Len, we got to throw in there. Yeah. They've got to find some way. If Trey Lyles isn't going to be there, you can't just say, well, the bench is going to suck tonight.
And it's not, and I know we got to go quick, but it's not just the 3 points. It's that Davion Mitchell's 3 field goal attempts were the only field goal attempts from those 4 players.
Yeah, it's wild.
They got nothing from anyone else on the bench. I'm with you. They need to, I think that's an offseason priority for the Kings is fixing that depth.
Yeah, I definitely agree. All right, Kyle. Well, all right. Yeah, we're going to step aside, right?
Yeah, yeah, we sure are. We'll have plenty more diving into this Kings loss to the Suns, and we'll begin looking ahead to Kings Nuggets tonight as well. That game suddenly has a little bit more urgency than maybe we thought it would have. But more Kings Suns coming up next on ESPN 1320.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, we're talking Al Roker on the Insiders. If you're watching, I'm showing off my Al Roker autograph. I'm very proud of it. It's one of my prized possessions. And I just love random little things like this. And I love Al Roker. So I had an opportunity to get Al Roker's autograph.
I feel like the Al Roker picture is like a big hit. Every time someone sees it, like, oh, what's going on with Al Roker behind you?
Right. That's why it's great. Like, I grew up, I love Roker because my mom would always watch the Today Show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the weather was the thing I could, like, I could engage with, like, because I was like five, right? I didn't know what the news was, what was going on. You know, Katie Couric, shout out. But Al Roker, and he's talking weather, and I'm like, this I get. Rain, clouds, sun, that's me. I got you, Al. And he's like, here's what's happening in your neck of the woods. I'm like, how'd you know it's my neck of the woods, Al? Thanks. So, yeah, shout out to Al Roker. It's my guy.
That's amazing.
And it's personalized to me. No big deal.
No big deal.
This isn't just some. All right. I got to do a radio show.
I grew up on Days of Our Lives. So, yeah.
Oh.
I mean, I had to run the VCR for my mom. So my mom would be like, I don't know how to do it. And so I would have to go in and program the VCR to record Days of Our Lives every day.
Oh.
So I
were you just locked into Days? Still watch it?
I don't still watch it, but I grew up like, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. What shows did you grow up watching because of your parents? Let us know. 916-909-1320. That's 916-909-1320. The Sacramento Kings fall to the Suns last night, 130-125. James, I think one of the big picture things as we kind of zoom out a little bit here is the Kings are now, after finishing in the number three seed last year, they have now fallen to number eight in the West standings this season. They're 30-23. They're a game back of the Mavericks. They're two games up on the Lakers for the 9 and three games up on the Warriors from the 10. So they are three games from falling out of the play-in entirely and a game and a half from being in the playoffs. They're in a little bit of a weird spot. Is this a thing where you think Kings fans, should they be concerned? Or is this just kind of, you expected this year?
No, absolutely. You should be concerned. Like, if you're a Kings fan that's out there and you're looking at the standings, you should be going, well, that's not great. That's not great because you still got like five or six games here in this stretch of games that are really, really difficult. And if you lose your way here, that could make the next 10 games look even worse. Like, this team just came off this great road trip, right, where they go 5-2, and now the vibes are gone. This is bad vibeville. And that's, you know, that's not what you expected, especially coming out of the big win over Denver on over the weekend. You're like, okay, well, maybe they're back. And then, no, they're not. They come out against an OKC team, and they're just flat. I think the one good thing that they can point to is that even if you lose these two games right here, you come right out of the break and you play San Antonio. And San Antonio, mm-hmm. while Victor Wembanyama is just like a gift to the NBA.
He's a marvel.
He is a marvel. But even though he is that, you know, they're not a good team, and you can get right then. But the schedule just keeps coming at you. You've got the Clippers. You've got Minnesota. You got Denver again. Like, you got a really mm-hmm. tough stretch of games here, and you can't just, like, lose them all. You can't just, like, well, like, it happens. I guess you can lose them all, but not if you want to be a playoff team.
Ideally, you're not losing all of them. Some good news. They play Dallas twice, so they have two more games against Dallas. They have two more games against Denver, but I'm looking for teams around them. They are done with Golden State for the year.
They got one more against the Suns. They're done with the Pelicans for sure.
Yeah. They have two more against the Lakers.
And are they up 2-0 on the Lakers on the season?
Yes.
Yeah.
2-0. So they beat them in OT in October and then kick the heck out of them in November.
Well, you've got 2-0 on Denver. You got 2-0 on the Lakers. You've got a split with Golden State. You got 2-0 on Dallas. So there are some good things that we can talk about here when it comes to where they are in standings. And you've won the season series against OKC, right? I think you're 3-1 to OKC, or maybe it's 2-1 with OKC. But either way,
I think it's 2-1.
Yeah,
2-1 with one more to go.
Yeah, you've got a lot of good things, but that doesn't matter when your overall win-loss record isn't good enough. I mean, again, this team is 7 games over 500. We're talking about earlier that they got to 10 games over 500, and last season they didn't get there until the 26th of February. This year, you're watching and you're like, okay, can they even get there by the 26th? I don't know. The stretchy games here are tough, but also just overall, they aren't playing up to like a level that would make you think that they're a 4 or 5 or 6 seed. They're playing to the level of an 8 seed.
It's incredible though, because last year they won their 53rd game to go to 30-23, and they were a top 3 seed in the West.
Yeah.
Top 4. Well, it's crazy how different the West is this year. It is brutal, man.
It's brutal, but also like that's what we kept saying last year, and people kept arguing with me, and I kept saying like, look, this is not where a typical third in the West team is. It's just not. It's you got a 48 wins is not the third seed in the West. It had only been the third seed in the West like one other time. That's not. I mean, there's a time where the Phoenix Suns won 48 games and didn't make the playoffs. Like the top 8. They didn't make the playoffs with 48 wins, and it wasn't that long ago. So like, look, you got to figure this thing out right now. And I kind of, you're looking, they didn't mix things up. They're going to rely on continuity, but then you have a couple of injuries and you start seeing the depth of this team might be an issue, especially the bench. Mm-hmm. Like if you don't have another natural scorer off the bench, that's a problem, right? That's a big time problem. And it's not like they have somebody waiting in the wings that might be able to score a bunch. No, the pieces that you have that are on your bench are specialty pieces. The Alex Lynn, JaVale McGee, Colby Jones as a rookie, but Keon Ellis and Kessler Edwards and Davion Mitchell. Like if you can get 10 points out of one of those guys one time a week, okay, but that's not even guaranteed. None of those guys are natural scorers. So like you've got to be able to produce this thing in a different way now, especially I know we kind of like didn't really worry about Sasha and his impact on the team this year, but if Trey Lyles isn't there, you're in trouble. Like this team needs at least one more scorer off the bench, and that's just another list of things that you didn't address at the NBA trade deadline.
I think kind of the realization that sets in here is that like when you run it back and you put the same team out there, you're gonna kind of get the same result. It looks different for sure. Like some guys are better than they were last year, some guys are worse, but they had basically the same core group going out and playing games night in and night out, and they have the same record. And now they're just dealing with a West that looks a little bit more normal.
Yeah.
In 21-22, 48 wins was the number 6 seed. And that's kind of that's just the reality of the situation. Like, of course, like looking back on it, we talked before the season, there were the people who were hyper pessimistic about the Kings. And then it was like, okay, well, in theory, you get better performances from this guy and Kevin Herter coming off a career year, if he can build on that and da, 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 da. And you could paint this picture where, yeah, hey, the Kings can go win 55 games this year. But then the reality of the NBA is you have some guys regressing. You have some guys maybe not growing at the rate that we thought they would. And when your big offseason acquisition of Sasha Vezenkov and Chris Duarte aren't working out, then you're probably going to kind of just have the same team you had last year.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what we're running into.
Kyle, and I think you bring up a name there that, like, there's a point here where you're going to need Chris Duarte. Like, again, if you're not getting the productivity out of whether it's, you know, again, Keon Ellis or Davion Mitchell, like there are nights where Chris Duarte can score. Chris Duarte can give you something on that end of the court, and he's not shy about it. And he was healthy last night. He was a healthy scratch. He was cleared to play earlier in the day, and he just didn't. So I'm almost looking at that and saying, okay, well, first of all, you might as well just wait on Duarte until after the All-Star break and give his ankle an extra week and a half to heal up. But you need him. You might need him.
Yeah, like, I agree.
Especially, again, if Trey Lyles can't go, this team looks a whole heck of a lot different.
Yeah, man. And Chris Duarte, like, in theory, makes so much sense. He's a very good defender, and he can knock down a three. And if you have a reliable defender who teams have to guard on that on the offensive end, like, that's so helpful for Sacramento. And they just haven't gotten it yet. But our guy, Michigan Wolverines, in the chatty house said, I still believe this team can be a six seed. It's like, they definitely can.
Yeah.
Like 100%. This is not a death sentence for the Kings because they're now the eight seed. Like, it's just, that's not the case at all. But they're not going to get there by doing what they've done. Win four, lose two, win one, lose one, win two, lose two. Like, they're just treading water right now. And that's fine. But at some point there needs to be active growth and progress. And I just don't know. Maybe we see it out of this roster. Maybe De'Aaron Fox looks like an MVP candidate again. And Domantas Sabonis continues to be as impactful as he's been the last couple of weeks. And we see a different version of the Kings after the All-Star break. And that'd be great. And in that event, then yeah, for sure they can get the number six seed. But if they're just going to kind of keep being this team where, yeah, hey, they might take Milwaukee to overtime in Milwaukee, but they also might lose to the Hornets at home or the Pistons at home.
Yeah.
If that's just what they're going to be, then yeah, they're probably a play-in team.
Yeah, at best. Yeah, I think it's tough. Sabonis, like, one of the real keys to this game to me was that Sabonis got picked on big time last time they played the Suns in the final 5 minutes of the game, where, you know, the Kings blow a 22-point lead, and I'm not blaming Sabonis completely for the blown loss, for the loss and for the way that the whole game unfolded, but the inability to adapt in a situation stood out. And we get to this game last night, and I think that was one of the keys to, like, if we're going to look at the two keys to how they, I guess, point to things that are good, the positives to come out of this game. Number one, it's De'Aaron Fox's blowout game where all of a sudden he looks like De'Aaron Fox. But I think this is equally as big, where you have a big man who struggled against a specific situation, which, again, we can look at the playoffs and how he struggled against Kevon Looney and say, well, they didn't really figure it out. Well, he figured this one out last night. And to me, that was a big, big moment for the Kings.
Dude, I could not agree more. And this has been one of my big things with Domantas Sabonis this year, is the triple doubles are great, but when you went and looked at, like, his numbers in crunch time or clutch time or whatever the NBA calls it, 5-point game in the final 5 minutes, everything across the board went down. His shot attempts, his points, his assists, like, he was not a part of the game for the Kings, and he's too good for that. Like, he is too good of a player to just, in crunch time, like, he is just an absence on the floor. He gets the rebound, gives the ball away, and then never sees it again. And last night, I thought, was dramatically, dramatically different. And that was one of the problems that we talked about the last time they faced the Suns, was the Suns went small, and Domas was sitting there trying to run the dribble handoff game, and he'd get it in the post, and then he'd turn and face up. And we talked about it on the radio. It was like, bro, back that player down into the rim and put the ball in the hoop. That is...
He had the play late where he just shoulders right through Kevin Durant, goes up for a shot, misses it, grabs a rebound, and puts it back in. And it's like, okay, there you go, big boy.
Yeah, that's like...
Yeah, dominate the dude. He's a stick figure. Dominate him.
Right, and that's what... That there's a... I guess, like, a passiveness to his game, or a desire to... consistently just, like, make the right basketball play within the scope of the scheme and the system. And it's like, that is great for, like, 46 minutes. But in a tight game like last night, I would like to see him go get his shots. And he did. He really, really impacted that game. And if you get that version of De'Aaron Fox and this version of Domantas Sabonis, where that duo can just go, like, pick and roll and pick your poison in late game situations where Sabonis is going to be such an effective scorer, it's going to be really, really difficult to stop the Kings in those spots. And I think you saw it last night. The bigger issue last night was defense to me.
Yeah.
I had no qualms with how they did anything offensively. But at some point, you have to get stops. Like 130 points is too many.
No, I agree with you. But I also think that the way that the Kings were basically structuring their defense was to allow, if someone else is going to beat you, then you're going to lose, right? So you look at the box score, Grayson Allen goes 2 of 5 from three. I thought they did a nice job limiting. Kevin Durant goes 11 of 17, so he has a good night, 28 points, 11 rebounds, 4 assists. But the fact that he only took 17 shots is a big deal. The fact that Devin Booker only takes 17 shots is a big deal, because what you were able to do, and for the most part, I think Devin Booker started like 1 of 13 and then hit his final, well, maybe it was 1 of 11, and then hits his final 6 shots. Like, he came alive. But where you really lost is the Eric Gordons of the world going 4 of 9 from three. Royce O'Neal hitting 2 huge threes. Josh Okogie hitting a wide open three. Nasir Little in crunch time hitting a big time three. And of course, Grayson Allen, hit 2 of 5. It's these extra guys. And the reason I bring those guys up is because the Kings didn't have one of those guys in this game. Mm-hmm. All those extra guys that we're talking about, the Kings have those guys as well. They didn't do that. And that's why you lose. It's not because Sabonis and Fox scored a combined 75 points and throwing Monk. Now you're up to 97 points. It's that you got so little out of everyone else, where the Suns didn't. They just didn't. You got 19 out of Grayson Allen. You got 23 out of Eric. You got 9 points out of Royce O'Neal. You know, even the 3 points out of Nasir Little, that matched everyone on your bench outside of Malik Monk. And again, Josh Okogie, 7 points. That's more than you got out of everybody outside of Malik Monk off the bench. And so that's where I think really the Kings have to figure out, like, how do we get everybody else involved in what is this crazy train that is Fox and Sabonis when they're rolling?
Yeah, and that's where the coaching staff can make adjustments over the All-Star break. You can start having those conversations with your role players and defining roles for them. And saying, like, this is what we need from you on a nightly basis, this is what we need from you on a nightly basis, instead of just like, yeah, hey, here's this really like democratic offense where everybody's going to get involved. And then, oh yeah, hey, by the way, nobody knows what to do when the game's on the line.
Yeah.
I think there's a pretty clear cut way that the Kings need to operate in crunch time. And that's what we had last night. I think it was tied with 5 minutes left. There's a 2-point game or something like that with 5 minutes left. And I thought the Kings executed really well, and the Suns, they made shots.
Yeah, Kyle, kind of and I would point out too, like, some of the reason why Sabonis is quiet in the final 5 minutes is because both De'Aaron Fox and Malik Monk are just crazy electric, and that's what they do. They try to own that final 5 minutes of the game, and that doesn't mean that he can't do anything, and that you just use him as a decoy. But I'd factor in a couple other things, like the fact that he's a bad free throw shooter. And teams are going to send him to the line in the final 5 minutes of a game. Although he has gotten much, much better. Like, his focus at the line has been phenomenal over the last couple of weeks. But those are things where it's not just, hey, he needs to be more impactful in the final 5 minutes of a game. I still think he is being impactful. It's just in a different way. He's sitting there fighting to get rebounds. He's setting his teammates up. I do think there is a way in which he can be more productive as far as a scorer. But overall, it's hard to fault a guy who puts up 35, 18, and 12.
Oh, no, but James, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Is I want him to do what he did last night. He shot it 11 times in the fourth quarter. He was active and involved offensively and getting down in the post and being available, ready to, when he caught it, not facing up, not looking for who to pass to, not saying like, hey, can we get Kevin Herter in the mix for a three here? Like, no, man, just get the ball and put it in the hoop. And sometimes you're not going to get that opportunity because, like you said, it is going to be De'Aaron Fox. It is going to be Malik Monk. But I think Domantas Sabonis is a skilled enough player and a skilled enough scorer. And you saw it last night. He had 35 points.
Yeah.
And a couple of big shots. And the one we haven't talked about, when you brought up officiating a little bit earlier, the play where he got Devin Booker in the air, and Booker like lands on him and he goes up and scores and there's no call. That was insane.
Yeah.
That is just bananas. That should have been an and one. Like, that was a very, very clear and one to me, and it didn't get called. So that's all. Like, I thought last night was great. I thought it was a really good distribution of Fox and Sabonis and Monk down the stretch. I just don't want him when he does get the ball in the on the block, I don't want him to do what he did last time against Phoenix and face up. No. I just want him to go back down whatever smaller player is guarding him and score. And that's what we saw last night. And I thought it was effective.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I want to bring up there's Gio Lobo in the chat says role players are scared to shoot because of Mike Brown. Man, you couldn't be further off base on that. I got to be honest with you. I've never one time ever seen Mike Brown yell at a player because he shot a ball. Ever. The only reason Mike Brown yells at anybody is because they missed a defensive assignment. Like, that's why every single time you saw him pull Terrence Davis aside and literally teach him the defensive set again, that's all he's doing. And he was upset with Kevin Huerter last night because Kevin Huerter missed multiple defensive assignments and allowed guys wide open threes. And so, yes, he got pissed. But those guys aren't afraid to shoot because of that. If anything, those guys need to be more vocal and say, hey, look, you guys are rolling. And I get it, we can ride the hot hand. But at the same time, our entire offense is predicated on sharing the ball. And you probably need to get some of these guys more involved and make them feel like they're more part of the game because you might need them. And late in the game, I thought they needed Keegan Murray. Keegan Murray started to step up as like a third offensive option. And then, again, they went away from it. And you need to empower him and keep doing that throughout the game. And that has nothing to do with Mike Brown. Everything they do. Mike Brown, this offense moves so fast. And Mike says this all the time, but this offense moves so fast. They don't look to Mike to call a play. This team is calling the plays on the fly. Malik Monk had a play where I think he had a layup with 21 seconds on the clock. Like, there's no time for Mike Brown to say, hey, wait, let's run horns. Horns.
Yeah.
No. Like, no. That's not happening. Like, this thing is moving too fast. And, it's just, it is what it is. I mean, Mike Brown yells at players because they don't play defense, and he's going to continue to yell at players who don't play defense. That's the way it is. But he yells at everybody for not playing defense. And so does his staff. And that's who they are. And that's okay. I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, real quick, since Domantas Sabonis had a triple-double last night, the Kings are now 9-9 when he has one. And remember we talked about this. We're like, hey, what's the deal here? Like, how does this, because remember when Russell Westbrook was hunting triple-doubles?
Yeah.
And he would like grab a rebound and instead of putting it back because he needed an assist, would like throw it out to somebody to have him shoot it?
Yes.
Because it's not that, right? So we were trying to figure it out. And I did a little deeper dive last night. So the Kings in the 9 wins when Domantas Sabonis has had a triple-double, and this gets back to my defense point, they've allowed 113.5 points per game in those 9 wins. That is 13th in the NBA. In the losses, in the 9 losses, they've allowed 125.9 points per game. That would be last. And the correlation is the 9 wins have come against 5 playoff teams, 4 non-playoff teams. And the 9 losses have been against 8 playoff teams and 1 non-playoff team. It turns out that good teams have an easier time scoring on Sacramento.
Oh, wow. I would not have assumed that.
Right. I did a deep dive analytics search to figure that out. So you're all welcome.
You're welcome.
You can use that. Just credit me with the research.
I'd also like to see what in the 9 losses, what does De'Aaron Fox's numbers look like?
I can do that for you. I got nothing but time.
You got nothing but time.
I'm not going to do it right now because we got stuff going on. But
we
later.
Do. Yeah. Okay.
Last night he had 40 though. I can tell you that much.
He did, and they lost.
It's just hard to stop Phoenix, dude. Like, Phoenix has got a bunch of dudes who can put the ball in the basket.
Yeah, and they're not empty calories. They're just, like, I've never seen a player who leads the league in rebounds and you think that it's completely empty, except for one time when Olden Polonis led the league in rebounds and everyone just said, well, he's getting all those rebounds on missed free throws. That's the one time where I remember people saying, oh, Olden Polonis, yeah, he did not. Okay, but outside of that, like a guy who goes out and gets 18 rebounds in a game, he's not padding his stats. He's just dominating, you know? And every time he missed, he was right there to grab his own rebound and put it back. Okay,
hey,
but he's
James,
not.
You don't have to defend. You don't have to defend Domas to anybody here.
Yeah.
Well,
that's true.
Everybody here gets it. If somebody in San Francisco doesn't, that's on them.
That's true.
You know? So that's just where I land on the whole thing. Really good edge. It literally came down last night to the Kings couldn't get stops. It was nothing anybody was doing on offense.
No, I totally agree.
If you're like, hey, Keegan could have scored more to make it so they had 131 points, like, okay, great. I agree, I guess. But yeah. I would guess that Mike Brown probably does not agree.
Yeah.
I bet he would have quarrels with 130 points. So, all right. Let's shift gears real quick because the Kings are shifting gears real quick. They face the Denver Nuggets tonight in Denver. Let's talk about that matchup next on ESPN 1320.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.